Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. From my limited sport memory as a child, I recall regularly playing kickball during recess. In our 3 15-minute intervals throughout the day of breaks, inevitably the class or a majority organized for a game of kickball. Before beginning the game, we would organize our teams by lining up along the wall while two captains picked teams. With all the players lined up against the wall, the captains chose the players one by one. In a similar fashion to the NBA draft, you would want to pick players so that you could win. I was invariably the shortest and smallest in the class and rarely picked or picked towards the end. My best skill was first base, and I found myself quickly running to take the ball to take out someone at first base. But even invariably at that, I would falter. So you can imagine my amazement when I recall vividly one day when Jason Brinkman, the captain, chose me first for his team. I was astonished, a bit fearful, and overwhelmingly grateful. For that recess period, I was the favored one. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Twice Gabriel tells Mary that she is the recipient of God's favor, and we might do well to ask, what does this mean? Popularly, those with wealth or good fortune, with political craft, role models of sports, or good moral behavior are considered to be in God's good grace and favor. It's often thought that God likes someone placed in a good station in life. But from this gospel account, we come to know that God chooses Mary because she was nothing. Mary was young. Mary was a girl in a society that favored men. Mary identifies herself as lowly and poor. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. The gospel lesson for today is commonly called the Annunciation, because it's when the angel Gabriel announces to Mary that she is not to be afraid, that she is favored by God, that she will bear a son and his name will be Jesus. In short, this messenger of God tells the unexpected, lowly, perhaps forgotten Mary that God is about to start God's own Occupy movement of occupying Mary. In fact, through Mary, God will not just occupy Mary, but God will occupy Bethlehem and the whole world. In the book, The Gospel in Solamente, the author Ernesto Carnell tells about Bible studies he had in Nicaragua. Specifically, he tells about teaching this story, the Annunciation, around a lake in Nicaragua. He says that campaneros, fishermen, and farmer folk who lived in the countryside read this story of Mary's news and hear Gabriel's greetings of favor extended not only to Mary, he says, but they heard it speaking to them as well. For this Savior, this Liberator Jesus, is going to be born among them, the people who were poor. It's not the rich, but the poor who need liberation, says one. Both the rich and poor will be liberated, answers another. Us poor people are going to be liberated from the rich. The rich are going to be liberated from themselves, that is, from their wealth. Because they are more slaves than we are. If we're going to be an Advent people preparing for Christ Jesus to come into our world again this Christmas, then we dare know that God is entering our lives to free us from what enslaves us, to liberate us as well. God does the work to occupy our lives, to restore, reveal, and redeem the world with the good news of justice and peace. So greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. In a book by James Moore, he tells the story of being a father reclining on his couch, half asleep, watching a football game when his children come into the room. "Dad, we have a play to put on. Do you want to see it?" The father was half asleep, but he knew he needed to watch the play, so he sat up and became the one-man audience to his children, ages 4, 6, 8, and 10 years old, who were the actors, Mary, Joseph, and the wise men. One son became Joseph with a mop handle. Mary came with a pillowcase under her pajamas. Another was an angel flapping her arms as wings. Finally, the 8-year-old came out with all the jewelry she could possibly find in the entire house, her arms filled with 3 presents from under the Christmas tree, and says, "I am all 3 wise men together. I bring you 3 precious gifts, gold, circumstance, and mud." The father, though, didn't laugh, it says in the story. The father didn't correct his daughter. The father reflected on her words that somehow he thought hit the Christmas story. God loves us for who we are. Our gold, for where we're at our best. Our circumstances, where we might be even now, presently. And our mud, where we're our most human. God chooses this ordinary human being, Mary, to be a vessel through which the Son of God will be born. What is impossible for us will be possible with God. God can take our gold, circumstance, and mud and do glorious things with it. So how does Mary respond to all of this? Perhaps her response might be yours as well. Mary says, "How can this be?" This awareness that we're not fully in charge is repeated in our lives. Just some mornings when I think I have my appointments all set for the day and schedule in place, I awake to find that the day has its own story prepared. Startling news can happen to us as well, joyful and sorrowful, that evoke Mary's question, "How can this be?" When a tumor shrinks or a precarious blood clot is corrected. Likewise, when a friend dies suddenly, we exclaim, "How can this be?" When a collective calamity falls on a university campus or a national economy experiences such rapid homelessness in the United States of America, of all places, we begin to grasp with puzzlement Mary's question, "How can this be?" and a refrain for daily life. Likewise, perhaps when an employee receives a new job or a promotion, they too may feel and sense Mary's overwhelming feeling of maybe even unworthiness or unreadiness and ask, "How can this be?" And Mary's doubts are met with the assurance of the angel Gabriel's message that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her, that God will accompany her. Mary's struggles are met with the promise that with God, nothing is impossible. God will come into Mary's flesh as she is the agent to bring about God's salvation for the whole world in the birth of Jesus. To being a servant of God, Mary hears the angel's words and says, "Here I am. Let it be according to your word." And throughout the Holy Scriptures, Mary is not the first to say these words, "Here I am." Noah said, "Here I am," when God told him to build a floating zoo. Abram said, "Here I am," when God told him to pack his things, go into a land he didn't know. And the boy Samuel said, "Here I am," when God told him to speak the truth to King Saul. And Mary, this young girl, ponders everything that's said by the angel and says, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." So Mary's words are God's Christmas wish, that we too are favored by God, that we too believe with God nothing is impossible, that we too invite the Holy Spirit to sustain us on the journey, that God would occupy our lives, our city, and our world. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Amen.
From on high, embracing all the the hearts that want.